Good morning. You've tuned in to the KRFY Morning Show. I'm your host, Jack, alongside Diane. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning, Jack.
Oh, I'm sorry. Would I say alongside Diane? I mean, alongside Diane. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning, Jack.
There we go. And today, our guests in the studio are going to be Olivia Moreland and Heather Upton. Olivia is the executive director of the Bonner County Historical Society and Museum, and Heather is the curator of their latest exhibit. Before I say good morning to you two, let me read the weather, because that's important. You know, we got to know what's coming up. The current conditions are, if you've been outside, it looks nicer than it feels. It's a little bit chilly out there. It's 25 degrees, but very clear. It looks like it's going to be more of the same today. Partly sunny with a high near 46. And actually continuing with the sun through the weekend, according to the National Weather Service, trustworthy that as they are, going to continue with the sun and actually get a little warmer up into the 50s during the weekend, which is nice. It's been looking great outside for the last week or so, but I would not say it hasn't been feeling that warm when you step outside. It's very deceptive. I've been seriously underdressing every day.
It's been downright cold at my house.
Yes. It's been quite chilly, but it looks like that's turning around a little bit. It's going to warm up. Still cold at night, but not that cold. Lows just in the 20s. Nothing too bad. It's been such a mild winter. Well, it's then again, in like a lion. No, in like a lamb, out like a lion, and vice versa.
Or right? Vice versa.
Yeah. So we'll see what the end of this month holds, but
Tennessee is getting the vice versa.
Yes,
they're having another snowstorm. In Nashville.
I think a lot of places east of here are having not quite as easy a time with the winter as we are. But you know what? I'm okay with that. I let them have it. That's okay. It's beautiful. It's not gray out here. It's not rainy. It's just a beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's almost like spring, and it has been for a long time. I'm celebrating. with that, how about we say good morning to Olivia and Heather? Good morning, you two.
Good morning.
Good morning, ladies.
How are you?
Doing good.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're enjoying the sunshine too.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We're just waiting for the payback in the weather in the next season or so.
Yeah, I know. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens in summertime. Could be dry, but maybe not. You guys are both here to talk a little bit about the latest exhibit at the BCHS Museum,
yes.
Right? Yeah. the exhibit is about clothing, if I understand correctly, which sounds fascinating.
What could be more exciting?
Yeah. It actually does. The more I hear about it, the more interesting it kind of sounds. It's mainly women's clothes from the late 19th century, early 20th century. That's the focus.
Correct. Yes.
I'll turn to Heather, I guess, or no, I'm going to ask Olivia, whose idea was this? How did you come up? How did you decide to put this in the museum this year?
Well, ever since I came to the museum, one of the things that really drew me was our clothing collection. It's amazing. It's just, there's a wealth of material back there. And I've been wanting to do this exhibit. And when, through fate, I think I met Heather and I said, hey, I have this idea. Do you want to run with it? And she did. And she blew my socks off, I tell you.
I was like, when can I come over? And I think the back room of a museum is one of the most exciting places in the world. There's so many treasures. And I was thrilled to see mm-hmm. what I had to work with.
Cool. So you were just invited over, and all of these was everything already there? Was this already previously, this stuff has all been donated just, and it was just kind of sitting in the back room?
Well, beautifully archived and stored, yes. And they've done a great job of documenting the history of each piece. And I put my little white gloves on and we dug right in.
And it's normal. I mean, at any one time, only about 10% of a museum collection is ever on display. So it's very normal to have quite an archive in the back. And they are all donated pieces. And each exhibit we do paints a picture of life in Bonner County. And this one just paints it through fashion.
I didn't, the 10% figure kind of blows my mind.
Isn't it?
I didn't know that at all. That's cool. So this, you may say it's paints a picture of life in Bonner County. Is it all locally originating pieces?
Not all of them.
No.
Some of them, they were, all of them were worn here in Bonner County, whether they were made here or they were bought and brought here.
Mm-hmm.
But they were all worn by ladies and gentlemen in Bonner County. We have both men and women's fashions.
Oh, see, I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
I should.
A lot less on the men.
Yeah.
I think they tended to wear their clothes out.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's, I think that's still true. Yeah, I think that might still be true. I don't have any museum pieces, I don't think, that's going to. I'm not going to leave behind much in the in the way of reusable clothing.
We'll do, and then in 100 years, we'll put your clothing on display.
Maybe. That's an interesting idea. I should. You're right. I should get some bags, and I should just. There are some things that I should really probably consider donating to the museum right now.
Or the Goodwill.
Yeah.
The Victorians were all about tradition, and I was reading an article. At one point, there were up to 15 different dress styles, and they would change up to 4 times in a day. And so they had, you know, quite a few options to choose from if they were of a certain class, and they really enjoyed the art of dressing and, you know, the tradition of that. And we had a really fun time exploring all of the different layers of clothing. And I mean, sometimes they wore up to 6 petticoats underneath the different foundation garments. In fact, we could just be historians on foundation garments for this period of time because there were so many different layers. And at times, it could be up to 14 to 16 pounds of clothing to try to achieve that look and the fullness.
Wow. That's a...
Yeah, amazing.
An ornate period of fashion. That's incredible.
It is. Yeah. And some of the contraptions between the corsets and the cages that they wore underneath the skirts that were intertwined with horsehair and so forth were extremely fascinating, down to what they called the bum rolls, which would be, you know, strapped around the waist and create that little extra, you know, in the back.
Yes. I think I know what you're talking about. Wow. That's what's the most... Are there any contraptions that I haven't heard of? Well, I haven't heard of the bum roll.
The bum roll is pretty insane.
They had corsets and the cages to kind of spring out the anything else that would be particularly painful that you can think of. That sounds pretty bad already to me.
The corset is the number one.
Yeah. They would, throughout the day, be corsetting it up even more, trying to achieve that extra 2 inches if they could.
Huh.
You know, to get that optimal thin waist. In fact, we had fun. I did try on a corset. I couldn't help myself.
I was just going to tell about that.
I think I dislocated a rib.
It is as uncomfortable as I would imagine it is.
Yeah, but pretty supportive, too.
Okay. So
that's, well, you know, a little true. Bonus.
You weren't going to slouch, that's for sure.
Yeah, good. It reinforces good habits, I guess.
Well.
Not good eating habits.
No.
Oh,
exactly.
No. Yeah.
I have to add about Heather trying on the corset because I was in on that. And as Jim would say, radio is not a visual medium. Mm-hmm. But Heather is very small. And the fact that it wouldn't fit Heather kind of amazed the rest of us.
Yeah,
that was another shocking part is how small the clothes were.
Yeah.
Not just around, but height wise, we've elevated all of them because they were smaller,
mm-hmm.
you know, 100 years ago. Whether it was nutrition or what the cause of it, they were just much smaller.
Hmm.
Even their feet.
Yeah, trying to get that little shoe onto the mannequin's foot was impossible in the end.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess it was. So you, I don't imagine you have 100-year-old mannequins to work with.
No. Yeah. And I will give you a fun behind the scenes. We had to buy special mannequins that were backless, hoping they'd be small enough to put the clothes around, and they still weren't. So my husband squeezed them together as much as he could, and I duct tape them. Uh-huh. So in a sense, I corseted them with duct tape to get them small enough just to get the clothes on.
Wow.
Olivia's like the MacGyver with an X-Acto knife and duct tape. It's pretty incredible.
It's amazing what we could do. Mm-hmm. If you actually saw what was behind every exhibit, it's a lot of duct tape.
The size of the clothes is that's very strange. Were there no? What's the biggest clothes, or were there any variations that got up to what we would consider normal size today?
No,
none. Yeah. No,
I don't think there's a single piece we have that any one of us could put on.
Really? Mm. Wow.
So there goes the fashion show.
Yeah. There it goes.
Exactly.
Wow, that's incredible. That not a single piece that that you could fit in. Wild.
Heather was telling about the layers that they wore, and one of the exhibits that she made indicates the layers, and there's a sign beside them. There, each one is numbered, and I think there's 7 in that one.
Yeah, there is,
and it's really fun, and the kids enjoy that one.
I love hearing that.
Yeah,
yeah.
The layers make me, and the 4 times a day, this must have taken an incredible amount of time to get dressed.
You had
every day.
I understand now why you had someone help you dress.
Yeah.
Some of them you could not possibly do by yourself.
No. Mm-hmm. No, not at all.
No. Who helps the person who helps you?
Well, a lady's maid.
Well, and I think then they would have. The ladies' maid would have had less elaborate clothing, obviously,
sure.
But
yeah.
So, you know, talking about layers, I think that's something that Heather did brilliantly with this exhibit is everything is layered, not just the clothing, but the accessories, the ephemera, the imagery, the colors, everything builds on itself and creates this beautiful canvas. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we were really surprised is thinking we're Sandpoint. And at that time, you know, we're really remote. And we, going into this, we thought we were going to see that Sandpoint was probably 5-10 years behind in terms of what was popular fashion. And in many cases, we were right on with trends. And that really blew us away. The hobble skirt was one thing that came out in 1910, 1911.
Absolutely.
And the same year it came out, we found an article in the Pondere Review of someone who wrote in and said, to the woman wearing the hobble skirt down Main Street, you know, you should be ashamed of yourself. And why don't you hobble into the alley where you stop? Was it stopping traffic
Absolutely.
Or something to that effect?
And
we thought,
like,
wow, we are right on.
You.
We were right on with the fashion trends.
Yeah, because that was something Paul Perot was doing in France. And he was infusing the Orientalism vibe into fashion. And I mean, to be having that in Sandpoint is just amazing.
What is a hobble skirt?
So it's interesting. It's a skirt that kind of poofs out almost like bloomers and is tucked completely tight around the ankles. And so what that would do is it would restrict, you know, the movement of walking. So he was trying to achieve the extreme look of the geishas, you know, kind of floating through the town. Mm-hmm. And there was actually a contraption that was put around the waist, some sort of bondage belt, if you will, to help achieve more of that look, too.
Yeah. I understand the name, hobble skirt.
Yeah, they literally hobbling.
Just, right. Your feet just kind of moved little inches at a time.
Wow. Well,
through the dusty streets of Sandpoint.
Yeah. Oh, the things we do in the name of fashion and beauty, right?
I would have liked to have met her.
It's nice to know that even 100 years ago, Sandpoint was always sort of cutting edge.
We were pretty cutting edge,
I think we still are. I think we Well, maybe not quite as much in a fashion sense, but
no.
So, I have queued up a little musical break. If you guys are interested, I found a song in our library, an old folk song called Two Dresses that seemed appropriate. So let's take a little break. This is Tamara, and you are listening to the KRFY Morning Show with Olivia Moreland and Heather Upton, and we'll be right back with more after this. The KRFY Morning Show is broadcast every Tuesday and Thursday, live at 8 a.m. Tune in to 88.5 or stream us live from our website at 8 o'clock to hear the complete and unedited program, including musical selections. Due to our licensing, we are unable to include full songs in our downloadable podcasts. We now return to the KRFY Morning Show. You're listening to the KRFY Morning Show, and that was a song called Two Dresses by Tamara, and that's an old folk song. I think that's, well, I'm not going to guess the year that that's from, but the reason for the song Two Dresses is because one of the exhibits right now at the Bonner County Historical Society Museum is fashion of the about 100 years ago, I guess. 100 years ago and more.
It actually has a title.
What is it?
Through the Wardrobe.
Through the Wardrobe. That's a nice title. Do you have any furniture? Do you have any wardrobes on display?
Well, actually, when we came up with that title, we were so excited. And I had a vision of... all of a sudden that popped in my head, and luckily Olivia is so supportive of my crazy ideas. I was like, we have to have a wardrobe that people walk through.
Mm-hmm. Like the Chronicles of Narnia.
Well, yes, exactly.
Exactly.
There's no such thing as a new idea. Mm-hmm. And so.
We found some, actually a board member and some artists, and we all worked together and we designed these fantastic faux wardrobe doors. So when you walk into the exhibit, you're walking through the wardrobe. And it's kind of a fun experience. It's mirrors and color and all things going on. And it's just wonderful.
It sounds very nice.
Yes.
On a side note, if you're listening to this show and you do want to go to the museum, but where is it? And how do you get there, and what are the hours?
We are at 611 South Ella in Lakeview Park, which is just behind Memorial Field. Mm-hmm. And then the museum itself is behind the big yellow caboose. Most people recognize that. We're open Tuesday through Friday, 10 to 4. We also have our Free First Saturday. This is our second year of running our Free First Saturday program. And luckily, we have our next one this Saturday, March 7th. We're open 10 to 2, and the admission is free. So, and this one is sponsored by Jack and Shirley Parker. So, it's a great time to come in and visit us. Not only is it Saturday hours, which people love, but it's free. What, you can't beat that.
No, that's great. And once again, I will say that I think I'm going to come down this Saturday, but that's not the first time I've said it.
No, it's not.
No, I know. I think I said it last time you were here, and I never made it down. But I am coming in for this one because it does sound like a cool exhibit. And there's another exhibit going on also, which is agriculture.
That's another one of our new exhibits we opened. Mm-hmm. It's the history of agriculture in Bonner County. The title of that is From Forest to Field, and it really does paint the picture from when the railroads came in and they were selling off their logged off lands to today, and what has agriculture looked like in Bonner County. Mm-hmm. We also have two more that we've opened. One is called History in the Making. This is another new series for us. By the way, the Tales from the Wardrobe is a series as well, and we'll move forward through the years. Over the next year and a half to 2 years, we'll move forward to our collection. And History in the Making is focused on current events. And this first one is the work of an 11-year-old artist. Her name is Kennedy Jane. And then our last new exhibit that opened is our Oral History Listening Station. And you can come in, sit down, put some headphones on, and pick different clips from oral histories, different topics, things that might interest you, and sit and listen to them.
Oh, neat. The recent recordings?
No, I think the ones that are up there were done 78, So there's some older recordings.
That's cool.
Yeah, we've been going through and digitizing our collection and getting them edited into small clips that people can listen to, and it's it's fun.
So these are people kind of going through their own personal recollections? Or,
yeah, they've been interviewed by historians over the years. And one of the rewarding things for us is we had a gentleman in the other day, and one of the clips was of his parents who have both passed, and so he was able to sit down and listen to their voice. And I think he had a special moment with that, and that was what made it all worthwhile.
Sure. You know, speaking of that kind of thing, I mean, this is a small town. Are there any notable figures whose clothing that you have acquired? Or who were these women whose clothes are now on display in the other, in the Through the Wardrobe exhibit?
Various individuals. A number of pieces came from the Lockwood Moon family. Some from the Page family. Dr. Westwood Page was a prominent doctor here in town for many years. And both of those families still have descendants here. Are you remembering
somebody? Sherwood was another.
Sherwood, that's right. Brown. So there is a number of prominent early families that shared their clothing with us.
And I was surprised to see the brown wedding dress is from a woman in Clark Fork, and I knew her stepson.
Really?
Who was one of the first white children born in Clark Fork. He was still alive when I came.
Wow.
So that was exciting that it isn't all Sandpoint even.
Yeah.
And the wedding dress was brown.
The wedding dress was brown.
It was.
And it's on a mannequin that's standing pushing an old baby carriage.
Yeah, I love that baby carriage. And it actually has the original parasol with it, too.
Yes. One of the other volunteers and I hauled that out of the storage, and it was proved to be an interesting day. Anything that we managed to get the keys stuck in the door of the storage, and we could only load it halfway into the car, so we couldn't move the car because the carriage was hanging on the back of it. So I have a love-hate relationship toward that carriage. It is an amazing piece.
I sometimes think we should record our installation process and then play it fast like Keystone Cops, because the stories we could tell.
Yeah.
There were a lot of fun moments.
You probably should record them. Put them in a time capsule.
There you go.
It's a great idea.
Yep. And then, in 100 years, alongside the clothing of the day, they will be playing this process.
Exactly.
Also coming up for the BCHS is a tea party.
Yes.
Or a tea, which it sounds like was very successful, and tickets are no longer available, but the event is still upcoming.
Mm-hmm. Yes, unfortunately it's sold out, but it is March 14th, a week from this Saturday, and it is a proper afternoon tea. But it won't be our only one we do. We will do more in the future, but it's kind of inspired. It will be a Victorian tea. We won't be in Victorian dress, but we'll get to get dressed up like girly girls and have tea for the afternoon.
Maybe a fabulous hat or two.
Yes, exactly.
nobody, I guess, can get a ticket to this, but if there are going to be events in the future, so what is this event kind of, it's an afternoon function. High tea. And I don't know anything about high tea.
We wanted to celebrate the traditions behind the Victorian and Edwardian times, essentially. And what better way to do it than tea? And fabulous clothing.
Mm-hmm. Well, since we couldn't get into these clothes, we wanted to get into our own fancy girly clothes that we don't often get to break out here in Sandpoint. So we planned a tea just for that reason.
Well, it does sound like a lot of fun. And I do. I hope you have more in the future. Are gentlemen allowed at this tea party?
Gentlemen are allowed.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I will keep that in mind for the next time.
Next one.
Yes, the next one. We've been talking this morning to Olivia and Heather, Olivia Moreland and Heather Upton, the executive director and the curator of the latest exhibit down at the Bonner County Historical Society and Museum, and this one specifically at the museum. There are, one more time, how many dresses or how many are on display right now? What's the total?
Gosh, that's a great question. What did we end up counting about?
I think it's 15 dresses.
And there were more. Mm-hmm. That's what's so amazing about the collection. And, you know, it was so hard trying to pick and choose which ones to present. We just wanted to have a good representation of all the different styles of dresses and the periods. But we keep finding more
things,
objects.
But it's not just the dresses. It's shoes, it's handbags, it's jewelry.
Pictures.
Hats.
Yes.
Photographs. And literally, it is from floor to ceiling. Mm-hmm. Every surface is covered.
Yeah.
Actual stories from that time.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
What? So the you mentioned that they sometimes changed up to 4 times a day, and I can picture like evening wear. Maybe you want to change into something formal. What are the other?
Absolutely. I have it right here, actually.
Okay. Yeah.
What do you wear? So these are kind of in a random order, but at that time, we were talking about kind of 15 different styles of dresses. So there would be like in the morning, you would have a certain type of dress, and this isn't including, you know, any of the foundation garments or your sleepwear. You would also have a morning dress, as in MOURING, as you know, for loved ones who have passed. Mm-hmm. You'd have a walking dress and a dress when you were receiving guests, a touring dress, traveling, shooting, golfing, seaside dress, races, concert, dinner, ball, and of course the opera, which we did have an opera house back in the day in Sandpoint.
We did.
I knew that. I think I had I don't remember who we were talking to who told me that there is at one point an opera house here, right over here. Right?
Yes, near Alpine pointing, House.
But yeah, near right downtown, an opera house. I can't believe they got rid of it.
Which turned into a roller skating rink.
And now it's like, now it's the Inkwell, right? Or
yes, no, it's next building. To the Inkwell.
Well,
it's where the internal medicine is, I believe.
Oh, okay.
That building there.
Mm-hmm. They should have kept it.
Yeah.
I mean, internal medicine is great, but an opera house, that's what we need.
Yeah. Well, I would mention that we have pictures of the outside of it, but in our collection, I don't believe we have any pictures inside. And if anyone has some, the Rink Opera House, we would love to talk to you.
Definitely.
You were mentioning, you just made a whole list of different outfits, and those are there's a walking dress, and that is different from a golfing dress.
Yes. Oh, absolutely, yeah. Because they had practiced the art of walking, and a lot of times I read articles on, because of the way that the clothing was structured, they would literally glide, you know, down the streets and promenade, you know, through the court, you know, or the downtown park, if you will, and. Make kind of a spectacle of themselves, because the clothing really represented where they sat in the realm of society, too. So it was important for them not only to wear the certain garment, but also to act the certain way and, you know, and glide the certain way through the streets.
For a woman who had all these incredible clothes that took a long time and took a long time to put on, many layers and lots of changes throughout the day and stuff. Was there such a thing as just casual wear? Just something that you would just throw on? And,
well, the casual wear would be, they had a lot of the, that would kind of be in concern with like the morning after the receiving outfit. So they would have the more lighter weight gown underneath. And then they would have a beautiful, like, bed jacket over, or capelet, or an amazing embroidered shawl. So they always looked fabulous, and it was very important to them. I think of the women as these beautiful, like, porcelain dolls, and that was an extremely important role during that time for women, because in terms of a career opportunity, there were only about 5 different opportunities that they could really have, and you don't really want to know what a few of them were. So.
Yeah, they definitely weren't running out in their yoga pants.
No. No. Is there any swimwear in the collection?
Well, you will see some swimwear later in throughout history, and we're really excited to reveal some of that because we have some amazing examples of it. They were swimming actually in the Victorian and Edwardian period, and they were literally wearing like bloomers and trousers and
we have photos.
Yes.
But we don't have any swimwear from that period. When we hit the roaring 20s, we've got some great specimens. Nice.
Well, yeah. And I imagine, I mean, it would be very difficult to, who saves a swimming suit, you know? I mean, after
they,
you.
Yeah. And they were wool, too. They were always wool, which I find interesting.
Yeah.
Believe me, Jack, people save everything. We have the little cardboard tops that were in milk bottles.
Oh, wow.
Now, who thinks to save something like that?
But thankfully, they do.
But I mean, they did.
We have boxes and boxes of undergarments from this period. Yeah. Now, I know most people think, you know, I'm not going to donate my petticoats or my bra to the museum, but someone did sometime, and that's allowed us to create this exhibit because someone did. But it's still kind of funny.
Yes. 20 pairs of knickers. Wow. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know.
You don't even have to do it that way.
Is there anything I've anything of particular interest that I forgot to ask about this morning?
Well, I think one of Diane's favorite pieces is one of the odd traditions of the Victorians, their sentimental spirit, which would be the what would you like to talk about it, Diane?
Well, I know that it has a name which has escaped me.
It's a hair work artwork piece. So it's actual human hair that has been finely woven into this beautiful harp and then framed with a gold gilded frame. And I'm in love with it personally. But
beauty is definitely in the eye of the beholder. I've seen other examples and they are amazing. I mean, who thinks of this stuff? But I find it just creepy.
Yeah. It's like,
but it's on display. You can see it.
Yeah. The Victorians were definitely obsessed with their memento mori. They loved to commemorate the dead in very strange ways. They even made jewelry out of human hair of someone who had passed. And we actually have one of those pieces as well.
A watch fob on hand.
Diane does not love them. She she covers them up whenever possible. I told her years ago that that harp was going to work its way into an exhibit, and it did.
Yeah.
What
she
is this,
plots.
This harp is the strings of the harp are human hair?
So the whole harp.
You have to come see it.
It's a three-dimensional object, but it's all created with woven human hair.
Yeah, they were doing hair work jewelry like they would be crocheting. It was just a fun pastime for them.
And this was, do we know whose hair it was? Like, was it the, was it a deceased family member?
We know the family it's for, but not whose hair created it.
Okay.
And it's probably multiple different individuals, I think, created that piece.
Yeah, what better way to show someone how much you care for than to wear their hair or
I can think of no
have
better
it on
way.
Their, your wall.
That's, you're right.
I'm going to shave my head.
That's very expressive. You're right.
It's great, interesting.
It's really a good way to show you care. It's too bad Valentine's Day. It was in the past, but maybe next year.
Next year, yes.
We'll have some human hair jewelry exchanges. one more time. This is first Saturday.
Yes.
So this is a great opportunity if you want to come check out the museum, right? Any other details? What are the hours again? Are
10 to 2.
Okay.
This Saturday, March 7th. Otherwise, we're open Tuesday through Friday, 10 to 4.
Okay. Here's your musical quiz, you historians. It was this day in 1977 that this song hit number one on the Billboard Hot 100. And it is by Miss Barbara Streisand. Can you guess the song?
No, I was only two.
No. Yeah. I'm so sorry. Over my head.
It's a theme from a movie. How about that?
Oh.
Is that help? Anyone?
Was it a movie she was in?
Yes.
Was it what was that? Yentl? It was that movie?
Fiddler on the Roof?
No.
Hello, Dolly.
I have no idea.
I am so not a music historian.
I would not have known this. I would have had no idea either. But this is actually, the song is called Evergreen, and it's from a movie called A Star Is Born.
Oh, The Star Is Born.
There you
Isn't
go.
Isn't that Kris Kristofferson?
With Kris Kristofferson. That's right. So here's your trip back in time to 1977. This was at number one on the charts right then. You're listening to 88.5 KRFY, and we will be right back after this. The KRFY Morning Show is available as a free download at krfy.org. You can also stream Panhandle Community Radio live from the website and find program schedules and more information about the station. While browsing krfy.org, support the station by clicking the Donate button on the right side of your screen and help keep Panhandle Community Radio commercial-free and a growing community resource. You are listening to the KRFY Morning Show with Jack and Diane. We've just bid farewell to two representatives of the Bonner County Historical Society and Museum. They were talking about the clothing of the current exhibit, which is about clothing of the about 100 years ago. And there will be future clothing exhibits as well, which we should tease. It sounds like there's going to be some clothing of the Roaring Twenties and of the 1960s. I thought I heard there'll be kind of.
I think it will go up to the 60s.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
but so the next one will be the 20s.
That's going to be a neat exhibit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very very cool. And we thank Olivia and Heather for stopping by. And right now, it's time for your local Sandpoint, Idaho, and surrounding area events calendar. Diane, what is coming up? Well, what's coming up tonight? Is there anything going
on tonight? The 5th, open mic with Scott Reed, hosted by Scott Reed from 6 to 9 p.m. at Monarch Mountain Coffee, 208 North 4th Avenue, held on the first and third Thursday of every month. For more information, 265-9382.
Coming up tomorrow, it looks like we've got, well, actually coming up tomorrow is the first night of the Fabulous Follies. The Sandpoint Follies are back in town for one weekend only, Friday, March 6th and Saturday, March 7th at the Panada Theater. It is a politically incorrect, racy, and ridiculous show. The Follies is features many zany acts. It's rated R for racy, risque, and sometimes ridiculous, but it is all for a good cause. Angels Over Sandpoint is the host of this annual fundraiser to raise money for their charitable good deeds in the community. All tickets are actually sold out now that I mention it, but for those of you who are going, it's going to be sounds like it's going to be a good, fun time. You can go to sandpointonline.com for more details about that, or go to angelsoversandpoint.org or call 290-5895. That is this weekend, the Fabulous Follies back in town. What else is going on this weekend, Diane?
Well, Friday, IPA live music at the Idaho Poor Authority from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. with Chris Lynch. Chris, and the Poor Authority is on Cedar.
Chris Lynch, I don't think I know Chris Lynch.
And I don't know who it is.
I pride myself on knowing, to some extent, knowing the local music around here.
Good, we've stumped Jack.
I know, yeah. I am not familiar with Chris Lynch. Maybe he's from out of town, or maybe he's a new character or just new to me, but the Poor Authority always does. They have excellent taste.
It's always
taste.
Fun
it's,
there.
It's always fun. They put on a good show. So I think that sounds like a good time on Friday night. Also, the Friday night is always an excellent night for live music down on the corner of Cedar and Second or Cedar and Third or wherever It is. The winery, the Pondere Winery, just down the street from the Port Authority, is also hosting live music from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. with Patrice Webb. Now, there's one I've heard of. She's a singer-songwriter whose music takes her from California to the hills of North Idaho. Webb has been compared to folk icons such as Judy Collins, Joan Baez, and Joni Mitchell. Her music swings, cries the blues, and tells stories in a way that only American folk music can do. You can call 265-8545 for more information about that show, or call or go to the Pondere Winery's website, which is powine.com. Powine.com. there's also Bunko coming up at the Hope Memorial Community Center out in Hope on Friday night. If you're not coming into Sandpoint, staying out in Hope, you can head down to the Hope Memorial Community Center for Blue Sky Bunko. It is blue sky. That's seasonally appropriate. All proceeds benefit the Hope Preschool. Enjoy a fun night of rolling dice, a chance to win some awesome raffle prizes. Plus, there will be beverages and pizza available, along with free snacks and dessert. Call 264-5481 for more details. There's no website for the Blue Sky Bunko, so that number again is 264-5481. It's at 6:30 at Hope Memorial Community Center. I don't know. I've heard of Bunko. I've never played it. I have no idea what it is. I guess it involves dice and raffle. Do you know what Bunko is?
I've never played it either. I know they do it every year, and people love it.
Yeah.
Does that count?
It's supposed to. Yeah. I think it's a fun thing. I've never done it.
Nor I.
I've only heard excellent reviews. There's also a snowboarding competition actually going on this weekend up at Schweitzer. There's the Trans World Trans Am Amateur Snowboard Competition. It's a good way to get your name out there. Oh, if you're an amateur snowboarder. But it's really about the camaraderie that builds out of everyone just snowboarding together and having a good time. There's going to be giveaways, loud music, and weird stuff that you might only ride one day in your entire life. Registration begins at 8 o'clock in the morning. That's on Saturday, March 7th, up at Schweitzer Mountain. What else you got over there, Diane?
Well, also on Saturday at Bonner's Ferry, moving ahead with the season a little bit, Reel, R-E-E-L, Paddling World Tour at the Pearl Theater in Bonner's County, in Bonner's Ferry, at 10:30 a.m. Celebrate 10 years of the best paddling films. Admission information at thepearltheater.org. 208-610-2846. 610-2846.
Sorry, I stepped on you there a little bit. That sounds interesting. And we get a lot of skiing films and outdoor activity films here in Sandpoint. I know I've seen like rock climbing, mostly though skiing and snowboarding. This is a nice kind of a change of pace for the
10 years of the best paddling films. It sounds like fun.
Yeah, it does. I think there's some really cool paddling films out there that that you don't see that often. I mean, I can imagine some really
I've seen
great
a couple and they were fun. He was paddling in Alaska.
Nice. I've seen one from a solo trip from like from the northern parts of Canada. Just one guy alone, and the sun was always up for like 40 days. I mean, the movie was short, but it was a really cool sort of a visual trip that you could take. There's some neat stuff. I'm not saying that movie's going to be there, but there are going to be some great ones there at the Reel Paddling World Tour up in Donner's Ferry.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. The Distinguished Young Women 2015 is going on this weekend. On Saturday, the Rock the Runway fashion show is going on for the Distinguished Young Women's, what is it? Is it not a contest exactly, but pageant sort of. See new spring fashions featured from local Sandpoint retailers and bid on amazing gift baskets in the silent auction during the DYW, Distinguished Young Women Rock the Runway Fashion Show. And don't leave without dessert after bidding the old-fashioned way during a live dessert auction. This is the biggest fundraiser of the year for DYW, so come on and so go, let's see, so you can go and support your local DYW participants at Sandpoint High School cafeteria. That's the location. That's at 410 South Division Street if you don't know where the high school is. Doors are open at 11:45 a.m. this Saturday. Show starts at 12:30 p.m. Tickets available at the door. 304-9328 is your phone number for more information about that. Here's one more important announcement that I keep seeing. I keep seeing ticket or posters all over town for the Trout Unlimited Spring Banquet. This is on the 7th, which is, was the 7th Sunday?
Saturday.
The Idaho Panhandle chapter of Trout Unlimited is hosting the Trout Unlimited Spring Banquet at the Columbia Bank. There will be door prizes, silent live auction, a buffet, and cash bar catered by Ivano's. Doors open at 4:30 p.m. and tickets are available at the door. Dinner starts at 6:30 p.m. You can call Don Childress at 255-2928 for more details or visit panhandletu.org. And, well, that's Saturday. What else is going on, Diane? Anything else worth
Saturday, worth there's evening. Mm-hmm. There's live music and hope at the Old Ice House Pizzeria on Main Street in Hope. Excuse me, from 5:30 to 8 p.m. with Dan Thompson and Johnny Knapp playing familiar favorites. And you can find out more about it by going to oldicehousepizzeria.com or 264-5555.
Aha. Nice. It's nice that there's going to be some live music mm-hmm. out in Hope. I'm sure that there's often live music out in Hope, but we always fail to mention
I don't think right we always here. Get the listings on it.
No, I don't think we do. Nice that they're sending them our way nowadays. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. There's also, this is interesting, the same spelling of Real that we mentioned before, the Real Rock 9 Valley Uprising. This is going on here in Sandpoint at the Panetta Theater. There will be a screening of the film Real Rock 9 Valley Uprising at 6 p.m. The event is the Sandpoint Rock Gym's annual fundraiser, and there will be a raffle, climbers jargon, sending stories, epic tales, camaraderie, and a great climbing flick. Tickets are available at iCarts in the Alpine Shop and at the Panetta and at the door. On the night of the event, call 255-7801 for more information. Go to panetta.org. So there's that other outdoor film that we were talking about, or other style of outdoor film. A rock climbing adventure rather than a paddling adventure.
We have more of a variety this week than we often have.
Yes, we do. Let's see. That pretty much covers it through the weekend. You are listening to the KRFY morning show, and you know it would be good to talk about a little bit is actually maybe we could even cover Sunday and Monday because the next morning show is until Tuesday. There is the always there's a Monday night blues jam with Truck Mills down at Eichardt's Pub at 212 Cedar Street at 7:30 p.m. on Monday night. We never mention that because it's not on the weekend. Mm-hmm. So never say it's coming up, but it is. It is coming up and it's always coming up, the Monday Night Blues Jam. And there's this interesting In Honor of My Father photo essay at Evans Brothers Coffee. Evans Brothers is hosting a photo essay called In Honor of My Father from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. It's a result of the photographer Buddy Scouzo's father passing, his phobia of aging and the aged, and his acceptance, kindness, and shifting attitudes. You can join Evans Brothers for a free reception with refreshments sponsored by Luminous Epinoia. You can go to jrhutslar.com. That's jrhutslar.com, or call 263-1448 for more information about that photo essay and the reception at Evans Brothers next Monday. Well, we're coming close to the end of the hour here. I think we should maybe close it out with a little music, and we could even do a little more music trivia if you wanted.
Sure.
Okay.
Oh, what you got?
Actually, I do have one other trivia item. This from Google.com. It is Momofuku Ando's 105th birthday. Do you know who that is? No cheating.
I have no idea.
The inventor of instant ramen. Instant ramen noodles. It would be his 105th birthday if he were still alive. It's the 105th anniversary of his birth. And yes, he invented ramen noodles. A little bit of trivia for you there. He would be 105 years old today. And actually, in a tragic note, actor and singer John Belushi died on this day in 1982. His tombstone reads, "I may be gone, but rock and roll lives on." There was also Wham making their U.S. television debut when they appeared on Dick Clark's American Bandstand on this date in 1983. This brought Wham onto the national stage, which was, well, I'm trying to think about this. Wham was George Michael. Do you know anything about the band Wham, Diane?
Nothing.
Me neither.
You're out of my league.
No, I got George Michael and the other guy from Wham, and that's the band Wham. And what better time than now to play Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go by that band, who made their
perfect
national debut on Dick Clark's American Bandstand on this date in 1983. You are listening to KRFY. Have yourself a good morning, pleasant day, and enjoy that beautiful weather that we continue to have here in North Idaho.